Welcome. Hello, hello. Welcome to the podcast. I'm in the middle of thinking about rebranding. So whatever that will be, it will be. But today I wanted to come on and talk about what does it mean to have empathy? Empathy has been a game changer in my life. Empathy is fundamentally my DNA. It's not something I choose to not be, to be. It's just who I am, right? And it's an interesting space. It's a word that's come to the fore in the last 10 years, probably. And, you know, if you're looking, if you've got a certain skill set, certain gifting in this area, if that's your personality type, it's really good to understand it. So I wanted to just come on today and talk about what does it mean to have empathy to me. Do you recognize any empathy in you even? So I didn't actually understand as a little girl my ability to feel someone else's pain. I have always cried when someone else cries. I laugh when others deeply laugh. I deeply grieve with someone's loss. And look, I'm the sort of girl that always will fight for the underdog. I always defend the hurting. It really doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. When I see someone's pain, I can't help it but feel that pain. You know, my phone is always on silent. I recharge by myself. Yes, they are introverted tendencies. My threshold for sensory overload is pretty low. I cry in TV adverts, and it's rare for me not to cry in a movie somewhere, somehow, in some moment. Any deep, heartfelt moment will get me. My kids are so funny. When they're watching a movie with me, they will just hand me tissues before it even happens, because they know me well. I even remember a time I was watching the AFL Grand Final. I live in Australia, so for those around the world, I know you don't have the blessing and the gift that AFL is, but that's our footy and I love it. I was watching the Grand Final and they had an Indigenous appreciation moment. Wow, I lost the plot. I could not help but cry. You know, and that was in the opening ceremony of the Grand Final. I think it was 2 years ago. Because that's just who I am. That's what my empathy does with me, is to me. This has always been my normal, right? And honestly, I will be forever grateful to my mum for loving that part of me and always welcoming and encouraging who I am in all of that, in all of this. Fast forward to my 30s, and our church, our leadership, we started studying Don and Katie Fortune's book called Discover Your God-Given Gifts. And I started on a journey learning about the mercy gifting, or you could call it compassion. It became like my new best catchphrase, that, in air quotes, mercy gifting. Having that word mercy, that vocabulary, it was such a gift to me, and it allowed me to learn more about how I am wired. I started deep diving into what my mercy gift, also known as the gift of compassion, was, so I could understand why I behaved the way I did. Because when I was 10, I didn't understand all of these things I'm explaining today. At 20, I didn't understand. I was in my 30s when we went through this book and I discovered the mercy gift. It helped me understand, you know, why I would jump to the defense of someone being picked on or judged or belittled. And honestly, why complete strangers, random people, would tell me their deepest hurts at the bus stop or in the supermarket. I mean, if you were with me, an invisible sidekick along my life, it is befuddling at times, or was befuddling at times, as to why people would confide so much in me, people I don't know or haven't been in their world enough to earn that space yet. This is where I find myself. I was running a cafe a few years back, and my front of house manager, one day, like, I would just honestly, people would come in and just start talking to me and tell me all their bits and pieces. And one day this young man had come in, and he had confided some stuff in me, and I just encouraged him and, you know, sent him on his way. This was a cafe, right? A food cafe. And so my front of house manager comes to me and he says, I'm amazed. I don't understand how people come and tell you all the things they tell you. And I mention this because it's interesting what an outside observer sees. And, you know, I've always thought it was pretty normal. It's only when people come to you and say things like that, you think, okay, so everyone's not like that. Everyone doesn't have people confiding in them, you know, their personal stuff. You know, so this mercy gifting, which I probably discovered, it's probably 20 years ago now, really helped me in that decade of my life understand what it is, and it explained some of my behavior. It explained these random people that would come up and talk to me. And that word mercy, it helped me understand my little boy too, who from as early as I can remember would show very strong mercy and compassion to the smallest pain in another person, emotional pain, physical pain, the smallest thing, he would defend them. You know, even if they're in the wrong, he would still defend them. Because what I understand now about mirror neurons, I understand sort of the chemistry and the biology and even the biochemistry of it in our bodies. And it goes beyond that into our emotions and our heart, and I believe the way God created us. But this word mercy was an incredible gift to me with my son. It helped me give him vocabulary to understand himself whilst giving him permission to be the way he is and to always own it and to always love that about himself and never, ever, ever apologize for it, ever. In my 40s, I discovered the word empathy. Wow. I just want to say that. I just want to be grateful in just for a second for that word empathy, really. What a gift this word has been to me. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. And I do find that when people understand what empathy is, for those people that we could call them an empath, I know that can have another connotation in a more spiritual sense, which has other things attached to it. For me, I have a Christian faith, and so I don't attach perhaps some of those other connotations to it, which I'm not going to go into deeply in this podcast, but this word empathy and being able to understand that I'm empathetic, that I have my whole view in this life is filtered through this empathetic lens. What a gift it has been. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. I'm so grateful. I call myself an empath, which is like the noun. Nouns are naming words, because everything I do is motivated by my empathy, which is the verb, right? The doing word is empathy, empathetically acting, empathetically loving. And as I look back over my life, I see how this gift, this part of my personality, it has shaped everything. I love my values of compassion and mercy and love. They're like the ingredients that make up my empathy. And it, you know, it is a label, it you know, but I like that. I think for the sake of explaining and talking, communicating, I think words that explain other things, they're useful to us. And that word empath is useful to me in that sense because it quickly explains my definition of what that is. Again, I'm an empath with Christian values, right? My empathy is based in Christianity and in what I believe in that space. I don't know that that's everyone's definition of empathy, but that's my definition of empathy. There is a lot to understand in this space. Sorry. As an empath, the amount of invisible information that I process in a room when I meet with a group of people, it's a lot. And learning the skills to manage that is a game changer. Can you imagine our children who are born with this? Oh, let me explain the brain's mirror neuron system, because with kids, I just think if you are a parent of a child who is an empath, they do have a hyperactive mirror neuron system, then they're going to act in ways that are not like other people. And this is who they are, right? This is a good thing. But understanding that and learning how to teach them and give them permission to be in that space and not feel odd, and then also managing your own self-care as a parent around that, that's super important, right? So, did you know that in empaths, the brain's mirror neuron system, which is a specialized group of cells that are responsible for compassion, so this is research. Research has been done and discovered this. You can Google it and find it. They're thought to be hyperactive. So in an empath, everybody has in their brain, they have a mirror neuron system. Everybody has it. And it is a specialized group of cells that are responsible for compassion in every single person. But in an empath, they're thought to be hyperactive, super, super active, like on steroids active. Right? This is how specifically we are made this way. This research has demonstrated how you can feel other people's feelings. This is makes complete sense to me because I will literally feel in a room someone else's feelings, like, and at times it can even be difficult to tell. I mean, I notice when I'm feeling someone else's feelings, but there are times when I start going through things and feeling things, and I'm thinking, why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling sad right now? Because I haven't done anything to make me sad. What's going on right now? Okay. But also, if you are of a Christian faith like me, it also sounds like the prophetic and the intercessory vibe too, you know, and that's certainly been part of my life for a long time. So I get that as well. Empaths lean into the spiritual sides of things, even if they don't realize it. So it is important to know the values and beliefs you hold in that space and be intentional about building with that and how you go about that. If you are an empath, my hope for you is that you would learn about this amazing, precious, and beautiful gift that you have and that you are. You know, my hope is that you would lean in to understanding yourself in this space. There is another group, like highly sensitive children, highly sensitive people. There is very intuitive, very sensitive, you know, characteristics. Again, I'm just going to say this because that word sensitive it's been maligned to some degree. It's been, you know, chucked around and knocked and badgered. You know, when you badger something, it's taken a few, you know, punches, that word sensitive. And I personally don't hold that belief. I think the way you're made is absolutely the way you should be. I believe in the uniqueness of every person. I believe God made us uniquely the way we are. And I, you know, a message of my life is for you to do you. You be who you are. Love all of your quirkiness. And if that means you're super sensitive, then lean in. Yes, there are strengths and weaknesses to everything, everything. There's a strength to being sensitive and there's a weakness to being sensitive. Find out what they both look like in your life and work on the different aspects of both of them. Use your strengths to your advantage. Find out the weaknesses and improve what you can, what's important to you to do in that space. But it is not a negative thing to be sensitive. I'm a highly sensitive person. I've been doing more research in this space more recently too. And I am a highly sensitive, and I've raised a highly sensitive daughter. I've raised an empathic son. One of them's an introvert, the other one's an ambivert. These things are really important too, because how you refuel in your life, which, you know, touches into your self-care, your self-love, your self-compassion, you know, the relationship you're building with self in that space, it's really important for you to understand. Do you rebuild alone? Do you rebuild with people? You know, that's a very basic building block that we need to understand about ourselves so that we can put that in action in our life, you know. But look, if you are, just to wrap up, but wrapping up now, if you feel a bit invisible, if you feel overwhelmed at times, a bit introverted, sensitive to stimulants and arguments and crowds and non-stop talkers, if you need quite a bit of time to recover after being with difficult or toxic people, if you're a good listener and are caring and nurturing with special abilities to walk in someone else's shoes and feel their pain, you are not alone. This is who we are as empaths, as empathetic people. We're loving, we're kind, we're compassionate, we're merciful humans with our own set of gifts and talents. Look, there's an online quiz, there's several of them, but there's one at greatergood.berkeley.edu. If you go to greatergood.berkeley.edu and just type in empathy quiz, that's a good one. You could, you know, go and see if where you fit on the scale, you know. It'll get you started. You can work out where you are from empathetic. You can be empathetic and not be an empath, you know, my definition of an empath. Somewhere from empathetic on the left over to the right, a full-blown, like, compassion empath. Of course, that's who I am. And look, a quiz like that, it may even give you some much-needed validation, permission, certainly will give you some vocabulary. You can put your best foot forward, be who you are, and feel good about it, you know. So that's my brief short story about discovering my empathy, my mercy, my compassion gift. It is a gift. There's no two ways about it. It's intrinsically part of my DNA, my personality. There is no changing this. Not that I would want to. I would never want to. But you do see different people struggle with it. And I think it's because they don't know how to manage that space, you know. And if you are an empath, then dive in. Google research. I will have more resources here for you. You can go to my Facebook page, Martine Trinder Coaching. You can go to my Instagram, Martine Trinder Coaching. You can go to my Pinterest and Twitter and, you know, similar posts, and get more information. I'm really going to dive into parenting an empathetic child and a highly sensitive child, because these kids need looking after. They need understanding from us as parents. I'm an empath mother, and I raised an empath son and a highly sensitive daughter. And I didn't know those words back then, and I haven't necessarily run a mile with all of those words, but those words do explain and do give you a set of characteristics that you can identify, somewhere where you can belong in a positive sense. It's a very positive thing for me to understand my proclivities, you know. I think it's powerful for us to understand it, learn about it, understand it, but then give ourselves permission and actually say yes to it. Because unless you formally say yes to it, you could be living in limbo with it a little bit. So, you know, I suppose my encouragement would be for you to make a decision around it. Are you going to accept that about yourself? And lean in and work on the good and work also on the, oh, I don't know that it's bad, but let's go strengths and weaknesses. Work on the strengths, work on the weaknesses, because realistically, we all have that in our life, no matter, you know, what words we use to describe ourselves. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. But I love empathy. I just love empathy. So this girl is signing off for now. I just want to say to all my fellow empaths out there, nano, nano, may your compassion and your love and mercy always be with you. Sending you so much love, so much love.